that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Back here on First Things First, Colts linebacker Darius Leonard just wrapped up his second year in the league with his first Pro Bowl appearance. This a season after becoming an All-Pro in his rookie year. We are lucky enough to be joined by Darius here. Thank you so much for stopping in.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
How has this happened? I'm like, you redshirted your first year at South Carolina State, a MEAC school, right? How do you go from a redshirt freshman to becoming an All-Pro and a Pro Bowler in your first 2 years in the NFL?
You know, it just... coming out of high school, I mean, I wasn't heavily recruited. Everybody doubted me coming out, saying I wasn't big enough to play linebacker. So, went to South Carolina State, redshirt. I went in probably around 180. And
so you're 180. Doubted. You're 180 when you get to school.
Yes, sir. Because I was playing a receiver as well, so I didn't know what position I was going to play. And then they moved me to linebacker. And then everybody said he was too small. He's not big enough. He's not fast enough. So I wanted to prove them wrong. And then after that, I get drafted. They said I was the worst draft pick, and I wanted to prove them wrong. And, you know, I just always have that chip on my shoulder.
But now you come off like very mild-mannered and all that, but you talked about the chip on your shoulder. Pro Football Focus ranked you the 100th best player in the NFL, and you're not happy about that.
Oh, no. I mean, no, I'm not. But it's just like, you know, the worst draft pick, you know, you take that and you use it as fuel, and I'm going to continue to do that because, you know, I'm a competitor. And to be ranked 100th out of 101, that's you know, that's something that I don't live for. I want to be at the top of the list, and I got to continue to strive to do that.
Right. Why do you think that happened? How could they rank you that low? As Doug said, you were all pro your first year and a Pro Bowler this year.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I would love to have a conversation to kind of figure out what's the rating, like what adds it up and see exactly what's going on. I thought this year, I think I played well coming off my first year. And I'm not sure what made me to be 100 out of 101.
All right, we're showing the highlights of you taking Jameis Winston's pick six off Jameis Winston in the house. Now, in fairness, it's Jameis Winston. A lot of people took his pick six.
Oh, come on. Don't do that.
I know going into the game, you guys are lining up going like, all right, who's going to get one? Everybody's going to get one, right?
Your first NFL pick.
He's a little like Oprah Winfrey, like, and you get intercepted. Still, okay, you had to have, like, flashbacks to your wide receiver days, right? You catch the ball, you high pointed the ball too. You're backpedaling, catch it, take it to the house. What's that memory like?
It was crazy because right before the game, defense coordinator come up. He knew that we was gonna call this blitz, and he knew that, you know, if he get a 3-by-1 backside, he's gonna run a slant, and if I engage long enough with the center, he's not gonna see me drop out. And as soon as I saw it, you know, like you said, the receiver day came out and high pointed the ball and kind of took it to the house from there.
You are the only linebacker in the NFL with 5 interceptions last season. Do you think you should have won Defensive Player of the Year?
I don't think I should have won Defensive Player of the Year, but I think my name should have at least been a nominee. I think Stephon Gilmore did a great job this year, shutting down top receivers week in and week out. So I definitely think that he deserved it, but I do think that I deserve to kind of be in the conversation as well.
It's kind of interesting. Jacoby was a starter, and I think Jacoby impressed a lot of people. But the organization and Chris Ballard, your GM, he didn't put, like, the full weight of support behind him at the end of the year. What's your sense of what's going to happen on the offensive side of things?
I think we're going to stick with Jacoby. I think Jacoby's a great quarterback. I think he was 5-2 before his knee injury, and I do think that Mike could have had a toll on his play, but, you know, he's been great for us, and I think he's going to continue to be great, and we're going to stay behind him no matter what.
Now, Melvin Gordon said that he thinks Phillip Rivers is going to you guys. What are your thoughts on that?
I saw that, but like I said with Jacoby, He's our starting quarterback, and you know we're gonna stand behind him and just let the chips fall where they fall at.
How shocking was it for you guys when Andrew Luck suddenly retired?
It was very shocking. We found out mid preseason game, so I mean it was definitely shocking, and you know I didn't see it coming. You know, Andrew is a great guy, great player, and you know we stood behind his decision because you know we see what his body has been through, and once your body says okay I can't go anymore, you really can't go anymore.
Oh, you mentioned, it was a great question. You mentioned it was like fourth quarter of the preseason game that he was supposed to play in.
Right.
Right. So were you dressed? Were you playing?
I wasn't playing, no.
Okay, so you're on the sideline.
I'm on the sideline.
Okay, and then it broke like on Twitter before he got a chance to announce it.
Yeah.
So did you know, like you're standing on the sideline and guys like, hey, Andrew Luck's retiring? Like, how did it actually go down?
Oh, well, at first it was the fans.
Yeah, they started booing, right?
They went screaming first, like, Andrew, don't leave. We love you. So everybody looking like, what's going on? And then that's when word came around on the sideline, hey, Andrew's about to retire. So we were like, wait, that's... can't be true.
So did you go walk up to him?
No, because I didn't believe it. So I wasn't going, you know, walk up to him and say, hey, Andrew, are you about to retire? So I was like, no, watching, you know, it was a preseason game, and it was the last preseason game. So we had some in the linebacker room. We got a lot of rookies who was playing. So, you know, I wanted to watch them. So I wasn't even focused on that. And then towards the end of the quarter, they was like, okay, yes, it's true. And then as he was walking off, I mean, the worst thing that could possibly happen for someone who's been playing and giving the city their all to boom his last time walking out of that stadium.
What was it like when he told the team?
In that
room.
It was hurtful. I mean, everybody was hurt. You know, you could just see the look on his face that he didn't want to do it, but, you know, his body was telling him to do it. I mean, you know, me at first, when I first heard it, selfishly, I was upset because, you know, he's a great player and you dream of, you know, having that great quarterback and especially seeing how well he played off of his first year coming back off his injury. So, you know, we had high aspirations for him. And, you know, I was upset at first. And then, you know what, I went home and I really thought about it and saw and remember all the stuff he put his body through. And now he's married, he has a kid, and that's what he's looking forward to spending his life with. So we stood behind him from there.
Was there a feeling in the locker room that the season was over before it even started?
Not at all. Because Jacoby was getting... when we started OTAs back in April, Jacoby was getting all the first team reps. So Andrew was never in there. So when he announced his retirement, it was like, okay, well, we're glad that Jacoby was getting all the first team reps. And, you know, we trust him, and his leadership role just got even bigger.
So when you hear names like Phillip Rivers, you hear, you know, the postseason press conference where Chris Ballard wasn't quite settled, and knowing what Jacoby was able to do in terms of stabilizing things, how does that set with you?
I definitely think that Jacoby could help us win, and he showed it early last year. And you know, we always said defensively, if the other team doesn't score, they can't win. So I put all the pressure on me instead of Jacoby, because if the other team can't put up points, and if our offense just give me 3 points, we win the ball game. And they say defense wins championships.
All right, here's the question that I want to know in that division. How do you tackle Derrick Henry? That does not seem like
it's very tough.
Like, you're 6'2" to what?
About 218, 220.
Okay, so he outweighs you by
30 pounds.
By 30 pounds, yeah. And he's what, maybe an inch taller than
you? Yes,
sir. So I mean, that's a freight train.
Oh yeah, I always tell him he's a DN playing running back. That's what he reminds me of. And you know, every time we play him, we got to say 7+ to the ball. That's the only way we're gonna get him down, because he's so much of a powerful runner. He's a fast runner, and you know, he got a nasty stiff arm. So you don't know how to really tackle him. So he's in space, you don't know exactly what move he's gonna hit you with. So we always say first man, you know, you hold on and other guys get to the ball.
As a defensive player, what other quarterbacks in the league do you get the most hyped up to go against?
Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, and Tom Brady. You know, those are top guys in the league right now. And, you know, to be the best, you got to go out and go beat the best. And, you know, I witnessed firsthand with Drew Brees how well he can play. And, you know, that shows me that I'm nowhere near where I wanted to be, just to, you know, seeing the things and seeing how he was dissecting the defense.
Now, they call you the maniac, which it's you sitting here, it doesn't seem
fit. It doesn't fit.
But where'd you get that nickname?
I got a nickname my junior year in college, you know, playing against Clemson. I had 19 tackles, And coming off, got back on campus, somebody said, you play like a straight maniac. And once they said it, it kind of, you know, kind of stuck with it. And, you know, I got that persona where when I'm on the field, I'm a different guy. You know, I'm screaming, having a good time, and that's when my competitive nature comes in. I want to make every single play, and I just feel like I don't want to be touched. You know, if the ball is 30, 40 yards down the field, I want to be there to make that play.
You said 218 pounds. That's small for a linebacker. Mm-hmm. Did they ever try to move you to safety, or did you ever consider that?
My first year ever playing football, I started at safety. That was my first position. Then I moved to linebacker. And then, like I said, I was playing receiver and linebacker, and I got recruited as a receiver and linebacker. So I never played safety, but, you know, now in my scheme of things where we do it with the Colts, you know, sometimes where they can line me up at corner, look like man-to-man, but we're playing something else. So they trust me enough to kind of do them other things.
It's pretty fun. We have a fun little game we're going to play for you. It's one of our favorite segments called Going Viral. We're going to throw it back to last offseason when this video here of you stopping to help somebody change a tire took the internet by storm. And Darius, this turned out to be one of your former teachers. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yes, ma'am. It was actually my 10th grade biology teacher. I was on the way uptown, and I noticed the car, and I saw her. I was like, oh. So I stopped and asked what was wrong, and she was like, I got a flat tire. So I was like, oh, I'm from the country. I can change that for you. I mean, that's something like, I mean, I'm from down south. You know, you stop to help people. And
right. I love it.
I didn't think it was going to do this because, I mean, people do this every single day. But, you know, that just show you what kind of guys.
Wait, you were heading uptown in your hometown?
Hometown, yeah.
Okay, you're like uptown, like we're in New York City. Okay, I'm seeing tall grass. How many people in your hometown?
I say maybe 800 to 1,000.
Wow. Depends on the day.
Yeah.
Maybe 1,000.
I just love how you say, I'm from the South. This is what we do. What
yes.
a gentleman.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
That's awesome. I love hearing
I'm
that.
I'm from the South, too. That is great.
Yes,
that
sir.
Is what we do.
Yeah, yeah, just be careful. In the South, you wave every time, like if you're in your yard, somebody
yes.
drives by, you
oh, yeah.
wave. Just be careful in New York and stay
oh, yeah, trust
waving,
me. I know
at people.
Yes. I say hey when I walk past people.
Or yeah.
I say thank you, like when they hold the door open for me, they look at me like this mean look, and I'm like, oh, just, you know, trying to be polite.
Thank you? What are you talking about? Yeah. It's so great to have you here. Thank you so much for stopping in and joining us.
Have you ever had muscle pain? I'm talking stop you in your tracks, I'll never work out again, what am I going to do kind of pain. This is the kind of pain Dr. Jason Wersland was in when he created Theragun, the deep muscle massager that's unlike anything you've ever felt. Theragun isn't a cheap massager that just tickles your muscles. Their handheld percussive device uses a scientifically calibrated combination of speed, depth, and power to release the deepest muscle tension. Whether you want to treat your muscle tension from working out, an injury, or just everyday life, you can use Theragun. Theragun is the preferred muscle recovery device for over 250 professional sports teams and used by hundreds of thousands of satisfied customers around the world to reduce pain, increase range of motion, and soothe aching muscles. Try Theragun risk-free for 30 days or your money back by going to theragun.com/cadence. For a limited time, our listeners get a free charging stand with a purchase, a $79 value. That's theragun.com/cadence, theragun.com/cadence.
With three MVPs and six Super Bowl rings under his belt, it's easy to see why many call him the GOAT. But with Father Time chasing him down in year 21, many wonder if Brady still has it, unless, of course, you ask Tom himself. He posted this to his Instagram story, go ahead and bet against me, and you think you've seen the best of me. Also this one, I'm grateful for you doubting me, and I'm determined to prove you wrong again. Chris, what do you think of Brady's underdog mentality?
Look, I think it's great, and I think most of us would look at this like, dude, you've won six Super Bowls. You're widely recognized as the greatest of all time. What in the world? Is this insecurity or what? But I think Tom Brady looks at it, and this is the right way to look at it. We look at him as old, 42, soon to be 43 years old. He looks at it as, even if I play till I'm 45 and retire, I'm still a young man. So he's got the rest of his life to do whatever he wants to do after football. And so I think he's going to put it all, he's looking at every year I play, I'm coming out here to be the best quarterback in the NFL. So I like the mentality. And look, this is what the greats do. Muhammad Ali used the naysayers and all that as motivation against him when he won his first championship. Eat your words, eat your words, he said right after he beat Sonny Liston. Michael Jordan, we were just talking about offline about LeBradford Smith's story where Jordan made up that LeBradford had talked trash to him so he could go out there motivated the next night and put 40-something on him. Kobe Bryant. Every time he went out on the court, he was going to give it his all. He didn't rest at all on his laurels. 60 points in his last game. Tom Brady, same way, doesn't rest on his laurels. LeBron James, washed king. Who called him the washed king? People question whether he's still in his prime and the greatest player in the world, but nobody was saying he was washed. You're the one of the few that's even taking him out of the top five, but that's still not an insult. No, I mean, top 10.
450 players in the NBA. So he's played 17 years. He's still making a great player. That,
you know what I mean? He's building it up like everybody's ripping him. This is what the greats do to get that extra motivation. I like it.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's not like that, man.
You didn't hear a word I said? Get you hyped?
I guess. Look, every quarterback wants to be the best quarterback in the NFL. And I love that he puts in the work, and I love that he wants to do it. I almost feel like, are these shirts directed at Giselle who wants him to retire, right? Because no one's, very few people outside of Rob Parker are sitting here crushing him.
I hear it
him,
every night.
Right, or sitting here crushing him. He does a radio show with Rob Parker, calls him
the hip boat. Brother of all time.
Well, but he calls him the luckiest of all time,
Oh, he calls
right?
Brady the
Brady's boat. The luckiest of all luckiest time. All. Like, outside of that, and you're always going to have, you know, a couple people. Outside of that, like, I think everybody respects Tom Brady. Everybody thinks he's really good. We all believe that the Patriots, or whomever he plays for, needs more weapons because at this stage in his career, or maybe any quarterback, needs better weapons than what he had in order to be successful. But the idea that he has all these doubters, all these naysayers, like, no, I don't really think they exist. Now, if that's what you need to get you out of bed and get you working out every day, fine. But it just, it feels a little transparent to me. Like, I get it. You want to prove us wrong, you played till 45, but I don't think there's all these haters out there.
You just said it yourself. You want to prove us wrong because people in the media are saying he's too old. Is he going to be able to do it this year? That's what he was talking to. You're saying he has nobody saying that, but you just said it.
Look, I didn't say, did I say he was too old?
You said you want to prove us wrong.
Yes.
Us in the media.
You said there's a few people out in the
media. But the idea that there's this overwhelming narrative that he's washed up. It's like the LeBron thing. It's like, there's not that many people. Like, yeah, there was actually betting against Muhammad Ali, right? There's actually a line and people bet against Muhammad Ali. There's legitimately people that he proved wrong. Whereas I don't feel like are there people that have lined up and said Tom Brady will ultimately go through a decline? I mean, I know Kellerman said he would go off a cliff like 4 years ago. He has yet to go off the Thelma and Louise cliff. That has not happened. But there is a decline, which is normal. But on the other hand, he has an elasticity about him and about his career and obviously his body, that's his belief in TB12, that's been remarkable. I just, like, the whole proving me wrong thing, I don't think you're proving that many people wrong.
Well, I wonder, too, could this be a message to Belichick?
Possibly.
I don't know how much Belichick believes in.
Do you think Belichick's on IG?
Just wants to move.
You think Belichick's going?
Belichick's definitely
I
on the
think
gram.
It gets to him. I don't think he has an IG, but I think it does get to him. There's no question about it.
We're on.
He hears about it.
We're on to Andy Dalton's IG.
It's all about social media, I'm sure.
We talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side to the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has now teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, so you have less stress, so you perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind. And if you head to calm.com/sports40, you'll get 40% off a Calm premium membership. With Calm, you have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves and so much more, like sleep stories and meditations. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/sports40. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at com.com/sports40. That's com.com/sports40.
Moving on to the reigning MVP, Giannis, the Greek freak has his eyes set on winning a title with the Bucks this season. But with the 25-year-old phenom set to become a free agent in 2021, Giannis set up some interesting scenarios when asked about playing with his brothers, saying, quote, "If we could team up on a team, Milwaukee, LA, or whatever, that would be awesome." Chris, what does the future hold for Giannis?
Wow. Well, I know the Lakers are scrambling, right? Oh, we got a shot.
Salivating.
We got a shot. And the Bucks are scrambling too. Right.
Look, I think Giannis was just being honest. And, you know, I think he just, maybe we talked about it earlier, language barrier. I don't know. I don't think he's thinking I may go to the Lakers. But I would love to see, just for the business model of the NBA, him stay in Milwaukee long term. You know, we've seen Anthony Davis leaves New Orleans. LeBron obviously left Cleveland. Kawhi Leonard, I mean, San Antonio's not technically a small market, but, you know, it's a small market type city. Yeah, so he leaves there. And the players, I'm all for player empowerment. If he really just desires to go to some bigger market, then so be it. He should be able to do what he wants. But I would love it if he stayed. Now, ironically, with Milwaukee, L.A., remember who left there famously in the 70s, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, forced his way out. The key for the Bucks is they got 2 years. You got this year, and then you've got next year with him. What they need to show is progress. Like, if they need, I think they need to make the finals this year. Even if they lose, they need to make it. And then next year, if they don't win it next year, or if they don't get to the finals next year, that's when I think they could be in danger, serious danger of losing him, because I dealt with LeBron a lot early in his career. And I don't believe he was ever thinking he would need to leave Cleveland to win a title. He really believed in those teams. We talked about the comparisons to the early Cavs with LeBron and this Milwaukee Bucks team with LeBron, with Giannis, all built around this one player. LeBron believed wholeheartedly in those Cleveland teams with 61 wins and 66 wins. And he kept running into more talented teams in the playoffs and just feeling like, if I'm going to win, I need that other guy. And Giannis could get to that point within the next 2 years if they don't win it. If they do win it, then maybe they can keep him for at least another contract.
All right, let's start with the statement. It's a mistake to say L.A., but I also think that that's
part, his mom would love it.
That's also part of what makes him so endearing, is that he doesn't carry the baggage of all the BS that everybody else in America does, right? He's not thinking, like he even said, you know, when they drafted James Harden, you know, he had a comment on All-Star Draft Day. And then after the All-Star game, he said, we were all just trying to attack whoever James Harden is guarding. And he's not wrong.
He didn't know about the
political correct. He didn't grow up in a world where you have to be politically correct. You just kind of say what you think. And it's really endearing. And so he's like, yeah, L.A., but it doesn't matter. I'd love to play with my brothers, which is an honest statement. But of course, it allows, it's, you know, it's like throwing a ham bone in there for me and Chris to salivate over like dogs. We're like, man, come to L.A. I agree with you wholeheartedly on the NBA. This is big for the league, because imagine if you own one of these smaller market teams, or even, and look, there's a bunch of New York City guys, the MSG guys, own the Bucks, right? It's not like you got, it's not a mom and pop shop in Milwaukee, but they've done everything in their power to make that thing work. They got an unbelievable practice facility, maybe the nicest arena in the league, which is, and they sell it out every night, and they're building an entire team around him only to make him look better. Yep. They got a good coach who's, you know, new wave analytics, Spurs background, et cetera, et cetera. So they've done everything in their power. But imagine if you have, you own a franchise in which most of these things lose money year to year. Okay. They may make some money now. And the only way to truly make money is to sell a franchise, which you don't want to do.
Yep.
Right. And the second you get a great player, you either win a championship or the guy leaves you for a bigger market. That's not a great business model for Adam Silver. Right? Oh, you got Utah and Oklahoma City and Minnesota. They're all going to end up getting ticked off at these major markets. That said, the idea of him in New York, I actually think, is a bigger, would it be a better play than L.A., right? Consider out what an international city is, or in L.A., makes everybody perk up their ears. Oh, just get his brothers. Ironically, one of his brothers is in the Bucks organization, another one's in the Lakers organization, and I don't think it tells us all that much other than he's still a very honest guy, whether it's language barrier or not caring about being politically correct. But it does make us wonder how much do they have to do in order, maybe not to keep him happy, but everybody else around him. Because a lot of these guys, they're really happy and content, but everybody around is like, hey man, you gotta go win championships.
Right.
Legacy. Like, I'm fine where I am.
You bring up an interesting point of him not really being, you know, into the social media or just the political correctness that so many of the American athletes grow up into.
Yes.
And will he be able to remain immune to the championship talk? Like, obviously, within his own self, he wants to win championships.
Yes.
He's a competitor. But there's also the added pressure from the outside world. Like LeBron James, it was like, everybody's comparing this guy to Michael Jordan. He's got to win championships. And LeBron hears that. What player wouldn't hear that? And then you begin, in addition to your own desire to win, it's like you can't do it on your own timetable, though. It's like you can't just continue to build toward it and get it when you get it. The media, we put the pressure on you. You got to start winning multiple rings, and there's a ring count, right, and so on and so forth. Can Giannis remain immune to that?
I don't know. Yeah, but Jordan had it too, remember, his first seven years.
Yes.
And of course, they got rid of Doug Collins and Phil Jackson came in and they won. The same questions about him that were about LeBron. I do think that this is potentially the best opportunity for him, right? Because the talent is still in the West, because Durant is not playing. Kyrie, I think that Brooklyn team's a legit challenger.
Oh, you mean this year?
Yeah, this year. I think the Celtics, Jason Tatum's only going to get better. I mean, he's only 21 years old. He's not going to get worse. He's not going to leave Boston. They're going to keep getting better. I think they're a legit challenger. I still think Philadelphia is probably a year away from figuring it out. I do think they're going to keep those two together. This is a great opportunity because they had last. Usually you have to feel the pain before you taste the champagne, right? And last year they felt a lot of pain. And Toronto is not what they used to be without Kawhi. Boston's not there yet. Philadelphia's got kind of a volatile mix there. It's a great year for them to come out of the East. And the West is going to beat up on each other. They just are. And the Lakers are not.
Both of those teams,
they're not perfect.
The Clippers, yeah, and the health, that's a big question.
Health is a big issue. Do I think he has to win a title to stay in Milwaukee? No, I think that's dumb that we've somehow, as the media, you either win or you're not successful. I don't think that's fair. But I do think at some point, all the people around him will be like, yo, dude, Milwaukee, and we're not winning titles. What are we doing here?
It eventually gets to you. Yeah. Feel the pain before you taste the champagne.
Yes.
I like that. Kawhi Leonard joined Michael Jordan on Sunday as the only two players to win an All-Star Game MVP, Finals MVP, and Defensive Player of the Year award. Kawhi is also looking to win his third title with his third different team in June. So if he wins a third Finals MVP, would Kawhi enter the GOAT conversation? Doug, what do you think?
Yes, absolutely. If he wins three championships with three different franchises and assuming he's the Finals MVP, why not? Again, that doesn't mean that he would be the greatest of all time, but the question is GOAT conversation. Yeah, we got to have a conversation. I believe that Kawhi Leonard was the best player in the NBA last year. I think he's trending to be the best player in the NBA this year. How many years do you have to be the best player before you start to go like, he's in that conversation of greats of all time, especially considering, do you have the competitive greatness? Can you be great when greatness is called upon? And so far, two times over in the finals, he's been the best player on the court. One time, LeBron James was on that same floor.
I'm with you. You just said something. You said in the conversation of the greats of all time. I'm with you there. Like, he is going to be an all-time great. Yeah. The GOAT, though, the GOAT, the greatest of all time. That's a whole different thing. And look, Kawhi is building a resume.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to say he can never get in that conversation because if he wins it this year, like you said, he'd be the first player. And it's a little stretch to say he led three franchises because, you know, he averaged 12 points a game in San Antonio. They still had the big three, Duncan, right, Ginobili, Parker. But he was the Finals MVP. So, if, you know, he led 2.5 franchises, however you want to say it.
Sure.
That'll be huge. And he's still young.
So he may win, you know, more titles, but I do think he has to win more championships than just a third, because unlike the guys, like, I've gotten to go conversation, it's a short conversation. It's Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the GOAT. Now, I know Kobe and Magic and Bird, and if you wanted someone to throw Wilt, and, you know, those guys are all-time greats for sure and top 10 players and all that. But the GOAT, I think, is just, though, at least in my view, just those three. Others might throw Kobe in. If we even throw Kobe in, what's all four of those guys, including Kobe, they got one thing in common. They put up crazy individual numbers throughout their career and won. That's what Kawhi hasn't done. He's just beginning to put up the great individual numbers. He did it like his last full year in San Antonio. He did it last year in Toronto. He's doing it this year. But those numbers aren't spectacular, but they're good enough to be in the GOAT conversation. But I just think you got to do that a lot longer to be in the GOAT conversation. Now, best player in the world, he can definitely be in that conversation. But I don't think even another title would make me start really, we would sit here and say, is he better than Michael Jordan? Because that's the GOAT conversation.
No, but I wouldn't say LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan.
But I would at least have a discussion about that.
Yes.
I don't put Kawhi in that yet. No. Maybe he'll get there.
No, but he's clearly working his way into the best guy on the planet. And right. If he wins in Toronto, wins in the Clippers, and as you said, like, the Clippers are not going away. They'll be around. He's entering the prime, whereas LeBron's entering the twilight. I think you're underselling Magic a little bit, because part of it was career was cut short because of HIV. And we forget that unlike some of the others, he met his rival continually, right, you know, in the NBA finals. And he and Bird are two of the absolute all time greats. And by my estimation, Magic's the greatest Laker ever.
I agree.
So when you win four titles, and I know he had help with Kareem, but Kareem was an old man at the time.
Magic had five years.
Yeah, and then Kareem has six, right? I mean, it's crazy. But in the modern day NBA, I think it's Jordan. And then, you know, you have all the conversation with everybody else, and LeBron is kind of this generation's guy like that. I don't think he measures up. But we'd be moving the goalposts a little bit if we held it against Kawhi that he hasn't performed in the regular season. I think it's an honest and real conversation, but so much of how we talk about players is what they do in the postseason, and that's all that matters. And if Kawhi is solely focused in the postseason and he performs well in another postseason, why does the regular season suddenly matter?
Well, because all the other guys got to play the regular season. Like, and I'm with you. I said it yesterday. The only way you justify this load management, this excessive load management, is by at least getting to the finals. And really, you got to win it, if not this year, then next year. But look, Michael Jordan, only years he didn't play at least 78 games was the baseball year, the first year in Washington, and then his second year when he broke his foot. So, and LeBron, like, part of it is the attrition, is the grind of going through the marathon of the 82 games, you know, play 75, whatever it is, and then going through the playoffs. Now, I get there's some, you know, issue in Kawhi's knee. I do think he'd have trouble playing 82 games, you know, so I get it. But I also think it's a little excessive, too. So I don't want to belittle. We cannot belittle the regular season.
No, we can't. And I also think, and this is kind of to make your point, which is the idea of the GOAT, we throw it around. It's like Pat Mahomes. Like, he's one of the greats of all time. Like, Pat Mahomes has been unbelievable.
But it's too soon.
And I'm one
that says he has that potential.
Right.
But it's way too soon to even think of him as the GOAT.
Yes, because what happens is, when you win an MVP and then you win a Super Bowl, like, you're America's guest. Nobody says no to you. And, you know, do you continue to have the same work ethic? What happens when you get the big contract and you're not surrounded by the best wide receiving core or the best two best pass catching tight ends in the NFL? You lose those guys, or you lose a step athletically, or you don't work as hard. Like, there is, in terms of greats of all time, it's the ability to consistently perform at the highest level in the playoffs. And it's really hard to do, because it's not like everybody else is going, oh, it's Pat Mahomes. Oh, it's Kawhi Leonard. Right. Oh, it's LeBron. They're all trying to get a shot at the crown.
Mm-hmm. Well, right? Here's the thing, too, Doug. Kawhi's not going to have any MVP awards. I mean, you know, down the line, if he starts playing 75 games, he may. But at this stage, Can you be in the GOAT conversation with no MVP awards?
You can be in the conversation. You just can't win the conversation.
Your conversation is really long.
It's very broad.
It's a lot of people. But this is like a four-hour conversation.
Look, I didn't think when Kobe retired or when Kobe won his fifth title, I didn't think he was in the conversation.
I agree.
And then my late father at the time was like, well, hold on now. It doesn't mean that he is the greatest of all time, but he has won five titles. He is kind of this generation's Jordan. He will guard the best player. He'll take the big shot. He probably comes up short, but it's at least a conversation to have. I think that's where Kawhi could work towards. If he wins one in Toronto, who could never win one, and then he goes to the Clippers. I mean, like,
he can get in it.
Look,
I just don't think right just yet, but he can get in it.
It's early. But to do it with the Clippers, I think, earns you an extra bonus point that you take away because of the lack of regular season. It is still the Clippers, who've never been past the second round of playoffs.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.